Now, so far in our study, if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11, of the faith of Moses, we have witnessed the fearless faith of his parents, Amram and Jochebed. We see that in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at the faith of Moses during his early years when he refused the world's prestige, the world's pleasures, and the world's possessions. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now this morning, our focus will be on the middle years of Moses' life as described in the verses Pastor Beck read, verse 27 through verse 29. Our first point is faith overcomes fear. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Second, faith follows God's plan. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed them should touch them. And then our third point, faith experiences God's deliverance. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, the saying or trying to do, were drowned. To experience God's deliverance, first you need to overcome fear. And then what follows that is you follow God's plan. And as you follow God's plan, you experience God's deliverance. And so what a beautiful way the scriptures unfold for us. Our first point, faith overcomes fear. Verse 27 states that Moses, by faith, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Think about that statement. He did not fear the wrath of the king. The first time Moses left Egypt, he was fleeing in fear from Pharaoh, who wanted to kill him for slaying an Egyptian slave master. Exodus 2, verse 15. But now this second time Moses left Egypt with all the Israelites in his caravan, he was not fearful. Again, he did not fear the wrath of the king. Now, Moses was doubtlessly tempted to fear. I mean, we are talking about the leader of the most powerful nation on earth, who held really life and death in his hands. But by faith, he fearlessly forsook Egypt, which tells us that he did more than simply leave. He turned his back on Egypt and all that it represented. He renounced it completely and permanently, saying good riddance to it all. And friends, that's how we have to look at the world. We have to say good riddance to this world. Like Peter and James and John, Moses forsook all to follow Christ. Unlike Lot's wife, he did not look back. Like Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Moses purposed in his heart that God was the God he would worship, that God was the God he would serve, God was the God he would obey, which is a personal decision that Christ really calls each of us to make. I think of Christ's words in Luke chapter 17, verses 32 and 33. Remember Lot's wife. And what happened to her when she looked back? She turned into a pillar of salt. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. Now, fear is a great pressure, and all of us are tempted to bend, to cave, to yield to its powerful insistence. It's called the fear of man, and we all know what that feels like. I know I do. But again, true faith does not fold because it does not fear the face of man, no matter who that man might be, because the believer of faith stands in awe of Almighty God, whom Paul rightfully describes in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. David characterized this God by saying, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. And so if God is before us, who can what? Be against us. You know, when we realize how powerful and awesome Almighty God is, we can not only know, but we can receive the strength that God gives to us. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of what? Of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Friends, if you're truly trusting the Lord, if your faith is truly in Him, Jesus will give you the grace, the strength to overcome fear. And so I ask you, are you living in fear or are you living in faith? It's one or the other. Faith overcomes fear. Second point, faith follows God's plan. Verse 28 says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. The 10th and last plague that God sent on the Egyptians was the death of all the firstborn, which included both man and beast. However, to protect the Israelites from the destruction of the death angel, the Passover was instituted, in which a lamb's blood was sprinkled on the doorpost and on the sides of their house. And you can see that in Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. Now, these Passover instructions were strange, and the demands, a lamb without blemish, were quite costly. And this ritual was unprecedented. But because the Israelites, by faith, precisely followed God's Passover plan, Israel was spared. The death angel passed over them. Now, what makes this obedience even more remarkable? The phrase, by faith he kept the Passover, actually means that Moses established the Passover, and the perfect tense used here tells us he instituted the Passover as a lasting ordinance to be done year after year, which declares that Moses did not doubt that God's people would be delivered from Egypt. In other words, Moses instituted the Passover before Israel was spared from the death angel. I say, what faith? Faith follows God's plan. I think my question is, are you saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done? Faith follows God's plan. Such faith trusts in the Lord. It doesn't lean on its own understanding. In all its ways, it acknowledges God with the result that He will direct our paths. My question, are you following God's plan? Faith overcomes fear. Faith then follows God's plan. And isn't it true that oftentimes we're fearful to follow God's plan? We're fearful to do that. We know what God is trying to tell us to do. I mean, I know what that still small voice sounds like. Friends, faith will enable you to overcome fear, and faith will enable you to follow God's plan. God's plan puts you on a path that is straight. You aren't stumbling over here and falling in the ditch over there. You are on His path of life. I'll tell you, that'll save you a lot of headaches, a lot of trials, lots of troubles, when by faith you follow His plan. Number three, faith experiences God's deliverance. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying or trying to do were drowned. When Moses and the Israelites came to the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his army were closing in on them. From all they could observe, they were trapped. The Red Sea was in front of them. The army of the Egyptians was behind them. They had no get-out-of-jail card available. Now, initially, the people were fearful. And I'm turning back to Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to read some verses from this account of the Exodus from Egypt, and then, of course, what happened subsequently at the Red Sea. Initially, the Israelites did fear. And they did so declare, if you look at verse 11, because there were no graves in Egypt, and they're speaking now to Moses, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. But then they took heart when Moses responded, verse 13, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Think about that statement. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know, when you're living by faith, when you're on His road of life, His path of life, and when you're following His plan, the Lord fights for you. He fights for you. And so they believed Moses. They believed the promise from God. And they started walking across the seabed as soon as the waters were parted. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Notice verse 20, 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Wow. Can you imagine the faith that it took to start walking on that path, that dry path, with the waters on both sides of you? Then verse 23 tells us, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. It came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, so that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. The sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, And the Lord overthrew, he defeated the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Wow. Faith experiences God's deliverance. Friends, are you experiencing God's victory? Are you experiencing his deliverance? When you walk by faith, faith overcomes fear. Faith follows God's plan, and faith experiences God's deliverance. Now, how could Moses' faith overcome fear, follow God's plan, and then experience God's deliverance? Well, verse 27, if you'll turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, clearly tells us, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing, what is the next statement? Him who is invisible. Moses experienced deliverance. He experienced victory over fear. He was able, by faith, to follow God's plan because he looked unto Jesus. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, this does not mean that Moses saw God with his naked eye, but by faith, his eye of faith saw what the physical eye is incapable of seeing. Whatever Moses might face, God would sustain, God would strengthen, and God would reward him. And therefore he could say with David, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Friends, Moses became the man he was because he chose to focus his sights on God rather than on a Pharaoh and his armies. And he quickly understood that the glory of God was much superior to the glory of Pharaoh. Let me say, it works. Such a gaze, such a focus, such a faith-filled focus on Jesus works. You know what I do? I literally look up, and I look to Jesus. Through eyes of faith, I see him. Friends, it's like you are infused with faith. You look unto Jesus. That look. Remember, when the poisonous snakes came through the camp of Israel, because they were murmuring and complaining, what did Moses do? He set up the serpent of brass on a pole, and he said, whosoever looks to him will what? Will live. And as John writes in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We look and we live. We look and we live. Now let me say what a sublime truth we have here. Think about this fact. One man's faith can be so authentic, so effectual, that it can actually elevate an entire nation of people and secure their deliverance. And in similar ways, we have seen this same faith lived out in the lives of people like Martin Luther, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards. And by God's grace, you and I can live out this same vibrant, authentic faith, which then elevates our families, our churches, our cities, and even our nation. Now, honestly, our culture is becoming, and I say this almost every week, is becoming increasingly pagan. It's almost like we're living amongst the Philistines. So much so that biblical faith is becoming abhorrent to our antichrist secular culture. And those standing for even the most foundational truths of God's word, such as our Creator's definition of marriage between one man and one woman, are being silenced and sometimes even fired. Let's pray that each of us, no matter what the consequences might seemingly be, let's pray that each of us strive to be that remnant who by God's grace can draw upon Moses' example, Martin Luther's example, and gain the strength and perseverance to stand up for Christ, even when the waters are piled high around us and dangers are about to overwhelm us. Then we too can stand, as did the Israelites, and see the salvation of the Lord as he fights for us. Sometimes, as we're waiting for the salvation of the Lord, we can become what? Fearful. Lord, where is your salvation? Let me tell you, God's salvation will always come. It will always come to those whose hope and trust is in the living God. Friends, Moses prevailed because he saw Jesus. And therefore, as this son of Pharaoh's daughter, he turned his back, he forsook Egypt and all of its prestige, all of its pleasures, all of its wealth. And he identified with his oppressed people and thereafter became Israel's fearless deliverer, not only from Egypt, but from, as we just indicated, the Egyptian armies. Hasn't Jesus identified with us? Sinners saved by grace? God identifying with us? Didn't he become a man? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? And in doing so, wasn't he oppressed and afflicted as he was wounded and bruised for our sins? And yet how faithful he was, and how he victoriously endured the cross and despised its shame. And then after 6 hours of agony on the cross, he could cry, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And friends, that was a cry of what? Of victory. Friends, because Jesus conquered sin and death and hell for you and me, as he hung on that cross, as he took our place, we too can live in victory. Because of his faithfulness, we can identify with him. We can identify by faith with him and claim Romans 8:31, "If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Friends, Jesus conquered sin, death, and hell. He gained victory over the world and the flesh and the devil. Let us identify by faith with him. Let us see him through eyes of faith. Let us see in him the one who gives us victory. Victory which overcomes fear. Victory that follows God's plan. Victory then experiences God's deliverance. Can I just tell you, that's the Christian life. That is the Christian life in a nutshell. By faith, we identify with Jesus. We look to him. We then experience victory over fear. We then say, "God, your will be done." And then we experience God's deliverance. Friends, Jesus is our victory. Is there a victory that you need right now in your heart and life? look to Jesus. Identify with him. He is our victory. And thus we can say, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look and live. My brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live.